Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome back to After Hours. Jay Binkley, James producing the operation. Just talking about Coach of the Year, the receivers. Andy Reid had never kept seven receivers before last year. Not in the history of his tenure here in Kansas City, he'd ever done it. Six was the most he had ever kept. I could see him going with seven again, though. I could see him going with seven. Then it's going to be, and we're going to get into some of the over and unders as far as what we think the receivers will do this year with the team. But you look at the end of that, that's some tough cuts, isn't there?
Yeah.
Text line, who you keeping, by the way? 913-586-7610. Who you keeping as wide receiver?
It's really a testament to what Brett Veach has done with this team. And, of course, it always goes back to Brett Veach, any roster building. But just a couple of years ago, we were looking at receiver as the weakest point on our roster. And now it is so deep with talent.
It's so deep with talent on paper, but you want to see the production on the field. Like Rashee Rice, you love what we did last year. I mean, Rashee Rice was great last year. Again, we don't know how many games he's going to be missing, or if any at all this year, and they would do it the following year. Hollywood Brown, we know what he's capable of doing. He's fought some injuries, but he has had 1,000 yards in this league. I expect a big year from Hollywood Brown because it's a prove it year for him. This is him going out and getting the bag next season, which probably is not going to be in Kansas City because Brett Veach even said so during the right after the draft. He had a press conference. I don't know if you remember this when he was talking about the It was pre-draft. That's when he said it. But Hollywood Brown?
You know, Hollywood situation played out the way he did, and think he's going to be a great one-year addition for us, and he's going to set himself up nicely moving forward. So I think we're excited.
So we just said exactly what we've been saying, right? Set him up for 1 year because that's probably what he's going to be because he's going to outprice himself. I honestly think, James, because this year on our Character Concerns podcast, we look at the draft all year round. We studied the wide receivers pretty extensively because we thought that might be the first round they did. Mm-hmm. I think it's back to wide receiver in the first round next year, even though defensive line, because they did bring back five guys, is going to be imperative. I think defensive line or wide receiver, the top two needs. But I still put receiver up there because if you're losing Hollywood, you've got to add. You add somebody. Here's the deal. You have Mahomes, you have that quarterback of that caliber one time probably in your lifetime. Mahomes probably going to go down as the greatest quarterback ever in Kansas City history. I mean, who's going to be better? You supply him with talent. You find a way to give him talent. I understand he makes water out of wine, but it's okay just give him wine straight up without having to make water out of wine. It's okay to give that to him.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be the key moving forward and keeping this team competitive is surrounding him with talent. You can't just stop. Yeah, Rashee Rice is great. And Xavier Worthy might be good, too. I'm really excited about it.
And I will say this about Xavier. Let me stop you real quick. I know we hate looking at the videos, you know, of guys working out or something because they all got them. There was just one that came out on him. It was refreshing to see with that hamstring that he missed all those OTAs. It was refreshing to see because he looked damn good.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think – and I'm excited about Xavier Worthy. You know, when we drafted him, I think I was doing the show with you guys.
That's right, you did with the draft day.
And I said something about it then, too. I was extremely excited. That was my pick, my go-to guy who I wanted to get. But that doesn't mean that you stop. You got to keep giving Patrick Mahomes weapons. And the Chiefs are not going to be able to afford to just go out in the free agent market every year and pick up guys. You have to develop within the draft and bring these guys up on rookie contracts, and that way you can spend on Patrick Mahomes or Travis Kelce or Chris Jones or maybe an offensive line.
That's why it was so imperative. That's why it is imperative for Xavier Worthy, because I think it's going to have more pressure on him than Sky Moore did, or not Sky Moore, than Rashee Rice did the year before. I thought Rashee Rice actually had more pressure on him than what Sky Moore did his first year because MVS was still here.
Yeah.
You know, it's all right. You know, you have MVS. Now, when Rashee Rice, last year, I know MVS was here, but Juju wasn't here. Right. And so it's like, all right, what's going to happen to Rashee Rice? And he produced. Yeah. And Xavier Worthy, the only reason there's going to be pressure is because he's a first-round pick. And not only that, he was the only receiver taken. It's not like they picked a receiver again in the second round or third round before it didn't take any other receivers. That's it. I thought in this draft they'd take at least two. But again, finding a roster spot for him. But again, they have guys – But do they have the dudes, man? Do they have the dogs to do it? I love the fact they can spread the field, though. I mean, I'm looking forward to Hollywood Brown and Xavier Ward getting downfield. That's going to open up the middle. Your running game is going to be much different because last year the Chiefs threw a lot of passes under 10 yards.
Yeah.
And a lot of behind the line of scrimmage passes. This year, if they open it up, you can't creep eight guys in the box. It's going to be much different, and the running game should explode.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Pop might have a huge year. Pacheco is just going to explode. Like you said, Hollywood Brown, he's going to price himself out of Kansas City. It was Therese Paylor, the late, great Therese Paylor, used to say it all the time. Contract year is undefeated.
Undefeated.
So, you know, he's going to come here. He's got the best quarterback in the game, and he's going to produce. So, I mean, for the meantime, just enjoy it.
Text from our dude, Zach Croucher. Ben Courier 7, I have, this is Zach has, Rice, Hardman, Worthy, Brown, Watson, Remigio, and more. That could very well be it, but that's taking Kadarius Toney out of the equation, which you've heard rumblings they've tried to flip him for something, but no one wants to probably bite on that, to be honest with
Risky.
You. Justin Ross would be gone. I'm actually fine with that group of seven because Remigio gives you return ability as well. So not only get the outstanding receiver he is, because I think people slept on him, but you also get the fact that he can return as well.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty happy with that seven. Rice, Hardman, Worthy.
Brown, Watson, Remigio, and more.
Yeah, I'm all right with the Justin Ross experiment, you know, being done. I just don't think. Yeah, no, I think that's a solid seven.
And that sucks too, because in college he had so much potential, man. I mean, Justin Ross had so much potential. He showed up in the national title game, getting touchdowns. I mean, the guy was incredible. But I like that list. I do like Remigio, and we'll see what he can do at camp. But the fact that he was here all of last year, I think helps him.
Yeah, that paired up with, like you were just saying, the special teams abilities.
They gave him a ring, too, didn't they? I think they did.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, Nico got the ring last year because he was on the team. He was a practice squad guy last year.
Yep.
So definitely watch Nico. I know that he's been definitely turning some heads in camp. I know he's been definitely.
That's my guy. That's my guy. I'm already predetermined camp darling, Nico Remigio. That's my guy.
So you're not going Luis Zamet.
I think that he's got potential. I just think that there's a lot of hype going around, and it might be a little bit too much hype. You know, I want to see him on the field.
Luis Reese Zamet, I am interested in it because you're a rugby player. You understand physicality. It's different if he came from a different sport. Rugby is a very physical sport. So
sure.
Could he be on kickoff return team? Could he be on the kickoff? Again, you've been in shorts now.
Yeah.
And everybody looks good in shorts. But as Andy Reid said, you know, get hit and see what happens. See what happens when you start taking some licks. See what happens when your little crossing pattern in the middle, Nick Bolton hits you and lights you up. Because you know what? They're going to.
Yeah.
And they probably want to. Because this defense has swag with it now. This defense is no longer an afterthought. This is a forethought with this team. They were second best defense in the NFL last year.
Yeah.
They're coming with a little bit of swag, and they're bringing pretty much everybody back but Snead.
And it's kind of like what we were talking about before the show. It's not the hit that you can see. It's the hit that you get blindsided. Are you still going to be able to pop up? Are you going to be an Isaiah Pacheco and just pop up right after the play and keep going? I want to see that. I want to see what happens when he really gets clobbered.
Yeah, can he bounce back up? The text line 785 says, so the ship has sailed on Ross, Bink. He'll have a chance. He'll have a chance. We've just been waiting. You know, obviously, injuries hampered him the first year. We knew it was going to happen. The guy's got a hell of a work ethic just to come back from what he did in playing games at Clemson. But this is kind of show me state stuff, like prove it first. Like, I want to see what you can do consistently. We know he makes fantastic catches. And his size is something they don't have. But can you do it in the game? Can you be consistent? Because that's all you want. You don't want Adalberto Mondesi type guys. Remember him? He'd be great. He'd be good. And all of a sudden, he's not good anymore for baseball. And then with Kadarius Toney, showed you everything you wanted to see and then get hurt.
Yeah.
So much potential, but then always get hurt. Justin Ross, a different category, but I want to see more from him.
A highlight reel.
He'll be fighting to be on this roster. He made it last year, but he'll be fighting this year.
Right. Right. I think a highlight reel only does you so much justice. You gotta prove it. Like you said, we're from the show me state. You gotta show me.
You definitely have to show me, and we'll see what happens. But I do think it's going to be interesting that, again, we're talking about the sixth and seventh wide receiver. These are good problems to have. These are not third world problems to have. They're good problems. In the battle between Kingsley at left tackle and Wanye, the early leader in the clubhouse, Andy Reid did talk about him, you know, bringing in competition. I think some of the words they said, it's wide open, man. It's not like, hey, Wanye's our guy. No, they didn't definitively say that, so there's going to be competition. I think they want Kingsley to win that job. It's not that they don't like Wanye, but I think Wanye can be your swing tackle guy. And Juwan Taylor's still going to be here. He's not going anywhere. But both Wanye and Kingsley have experience at right tackle and left tackle. But if Kingsley could win that job at left tackle, which it is scary having a rookie from BYU protecting the blind side of Patrick Mahomes. I mean, there is some that's pressure, man. That's pressure. Getting drafted to Kansas City, being left tackle for Patrick Mahomes when you got an offensive line with Pro Bowlers and All Pros like Tooney and Trey Smith and Creed Humphrey. You got guys like that on that offensive line. Your quarterbacks won NFL MVP twice, won three Super Bowls, three Super Bowl MVPs. Again, when you're drafted by this team, it's step-up time. I mean, it's not training wheels anymore. It is. You get drafted, you're expected to go, man.
Nut up or shut up.
Because it's one thing with Brett Veach, and I think not taking anything away from the players or the coaching staff, because Andy Reid's fantastic. But this front office, man, I don't think it gets near the credit it deserves. I don't think it gets near the credit they deserve for putting the players on the field. Because every year, I get those texts on the post game. Let's cut this person. Oh, how about keeping Andy? This team is together for a reason. They know what the hell they're doing. You don't win three Super Bowls like Brett Veach, you don't know what you're doing. You don't have 21 of 22 guys on the roster last year when you left training camp that you drafted before. 21 of 22 draft picks were on the roster. Okay. Some would say, all right, the Cardinals, you know, they have near the same, but they play, well, the Chiefs won the Super Bowl. Yeah. They're the Arizona Cardinals. It's a big difference if you play your rookies and you win a Super Bowl. Because then you can sit back and go, okay, there was a reason these guys are on the team. Because they need those guys. Just like the five rookie defensive backs that played against Philadelphia and your leading rusher was a seventh-round pick 2 years ago against Philadelphia. They needed that.
Yeah.
I always go back to Brett Veach holding up the trophy. This is what a rebuild looks like. Holding Lombardi. Because that's what they did. Rebuilt right in front of our eyes. Didn't get into the AFC West, but I will. And the strength of schedule in this division, is this division going to be better than we think? And also, what the hell are the Raiders doing at quarterback? Because this is interesting. Talk about that next. Welcome back. Jay Binkley, James producing the operation. From the text line, 417, ceiling floor for rookie tight end. Weapon, end of the year playoffs, Jared Wiley. I like Jared Wiley. We had his coach on right after the draft, Sonny Dykes at TCU. Did lead the nation in touchdown receptions for tight end. Did lead in red zone, but again, you got to do it in Kansas City. The guy catches everything. The guy does have some breakaway speed down the field. There were times where Kelce wasn't in certain packages. That's why he got so mad during the Super Bowl with Andy Reid because he wasn't in. Because there was a certain packages they ran with 12 personnel having Noah Gray and Blake Bell in the game this year. You see Noah Gray and some Jared Wiley. But I like him. From these 913, you beg to have your team be this successful in your lifetime, and we're living it. Can we just talk about how fortunate we are as Chiefs fans? Amazing. Yeah, you could say that. I wasn't alive during the first Super Bowl the Chiefs had, but right after I was born, I would have been a young child. But I had season tickets to the 80s, bad football, $75 a year with the season tickets. Marty and Carl turned that thing around. Arrowhead became a great place to go, became to have a life of its own. Chiefs are making the postseason. They weren't cashing in. You know, a 21-year drought winning a playoff game. So, yeah, I mean, I got sick of Super Bowl Sundays, getting out the nachos, getting out the crock pot, having the beanie weenies, drinking the beer, and watching New England or Indianapolis or Pittsburgh in the Super Bowl. It was a Super Bowl. You're going to sit there and going to watch it, going to enjoy it. But part of me was pissed off. I mean, enough of Brady, enough of the Patriots. The fact the Chiefs been three of the last four, even though they lost, they were in it, though. They gave us that excitement. The Chiefs have given us excitement till February lately, and that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. These kids,
pinch yourself.
These young kids, 20 years and younger, they don't really realize how good they had it. I grew up. I'm a little bit younger than you are, but I still grew up in a terrible time of football with just bad football. Elvis Gerback and Steve Bono and. You know, we got the luxury of seeing Priest Holmes and Jamal Charles, but those were just highlights of those terrible teams.
Yeah, I saw a text the other day when I was doing Cody and Gold that someone got in a coma during the Elvis Gerback years or whatever, and they woke up at the Mahomes years and like, you keep winning Super Bowls. He's won three. It's like hard to believe how good things have been when they've been really bad. But yeah, I mean, it's just, the Royals not making the postseason and pushing through and 14 and doing it and for the Chiefs to go on the run they're at,
yeah,
it's almost like we get spoiled. Because if they go out and lose the first round of the playoffs or in the second round, it's like, ugh, what's going on? Because they've got those expectations to win the whole thing all year. And this year, they're making no bones about it. It's about three-peating.
Yeah.
They haven't shied away from that at all. You would think, we're not going to talk about it. They've talked about it. From Mahomes on to Kelsey, you name it, they've talked about it. We saw what the front office thinks by some of the moves they made in the offseason back when they only had Neil Farrell on the defensive line under contract, mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden here comes Turk, here comes Mark Dana, here comes Chris Jones, and all of a sudden you have your defensive line back like you did last year.
Yes, sir. Yeah, no, it's they're not shying away from it. It's going to be the talk of the town, so to speak. And once football season hits, everyone's going to be talking about it. So why not embrace it? You can't hide from it. People are going to be asking you, yeah, they want to win. So it's just like, so what? They want to win.
But the haters aren't out there like they were last year, and I think the Chiefs do thrive on that. Like if we see articles or people in the news talking about that, which I will get that in a little bit because there's some interesting Chargers stuff once again that came out. But this love for other teams, and I think I get it. These people are in the media. Even Kyle Brandt, remember last year, he goes, I'm not picking against the Chiefs. I mean, I went to, but I'm not picking against them. Then I think he kind of did. But then you realize, okay, the Chiefs went again with – what was the hardest playoff run?
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
I've ever seen in my lifetime what they did with the scoring offenses and defenses. They played all the tops. This offense that we thought was real slow, people nationally said it was slow. They played all the top five scoring defenses except for number two, which was the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, that was a tough run that they went against scoring offenses and scoring defense in the postseason. Not only that, but they did it on the road. So, yeah, there's going to be expectations. When your quarterback's gone to overtime in the AFC title game every year or Super Bowl, you're going to get a ton of expectations. I'll get into that Raiders quarterback thing, which is actually really funny right now. Can we actually take the Raiders seriously? Not. I'll pose that question to you, James, in the text line later on. But coming up next, Drew Nix, the producer of Cody and Gold, who also does the 49 Miles of Football podcast, which is really, really good college football content. He's got Phil Steele coming up. He's had Chris Kleiman, you name it. We'll have him talking college football next. And welcome back to After Hours. Jay Binkley, James, producing the operation. Going to switch gears, talk a little college football now as we'll hit the gamut with everything. If you guys haven't checked out 249 Miles of Football podcast, distance between Bill Snyder Family Stadium and Faurot Field, Lawrence in between, check it out, 610sports.com, or go to at 610sportskc. Hear from Coach Kleiman, Coach Leipold, and Jalen Daniels. Big 12 Media Days wrap up. Brett, your Mark Talk and Mizzou recruiting if you want to hear from Drew Nixon, a college football guru and someone I love to talk college football with. What's up, Drew? And the producer, Cody and Gold. What's up, Drew? Drew, where's Drew at? Drew, are you there? Drew, are you there? Maybe this phone line's not working, James. Let's see. Are you in the air?
Oh,
yes. Yeah, you're there.
I'm able to hear you now.
You couldn't hear that introduction I gave you?
No, I heard a little bit of it, and then you cut out.
Oh, yeah, college football guru, the 249 Miles of Football podcast. What you got coming on this week with Coach Kleiman, Coach Leipold, Jalen Daniels, Big 12 Media Days wrap up. By the way, I said you were coming on our first text that we got when I said you were coming on. I'll read it to you. It's from the 816. Eating is a sport, Bink. Can't let Drew take our boy Chestnut off his podium. The man is a dominant athlete, and Drew is just jealous, from Zach. Drew, I have not talked competitive eating. I have not talked this at all, but that was the first text I got instead of college football question.
We need to try to change that. I'm not going to rescind my take, but I'm going to try to avoid mentioning it again.
Good stuff, good stuff. But the Big 12 media days were in Las Vegas last couple of days. I guess one of the things that made me smile and crack up a little bit, obviously the adoration these coaches have for Coach Prime, but the fact that a four-win team's quarterback, Stuart Sanders, was talking about being everybody's Super Bowl, and I thought, okay. Nobody, you lost six straight games down the stretch. I think you're everybody's homecoming game, not their Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's really, I get why they might think that. I mean, it's good to think that at least. I mean, it helps you get up for every game, I think, in a way as well. Sure. But yeah, what you said, we saw what Oregon did to them, and I think it wasn't necessary. They weren't everybody's Super Bowl. Everybody wanted to beat them badly to prove a point of, you're not just going to talk smack and act like you are, you know, the best team in the country when you're far from that. Everybody wanted to take advantage of beating the brakes off of them, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, they enjoyed doing that, but the Big 12 had a different look. It looks like all these coaches really welcoming the other schools. Certainly looks different than the original members they had in this conference. And, you know, the talk lately, and we saw some rumors about it the other day with Clemson and Florida State. You've heard from credible people like Ross Dellinger go out and talk about it from Yahoo, that there have been talks. Hey, any kind of smoke is fire, in my opinion, because we didn't hear anything about Texas and Oklahoma going to the SEC, and they just did it. We didn't hear anything about USC and UCLA jumping to the Big Ten, and they just did it. We're actually hearing about conversations going forward with Florida State and Clemson. Do I think they'd rather be in the Big Ten or the SEC? 100%. I'm not sure, Drew, that they actually want them. They could actually end up in the Big 12.
Yeah, I think the one that's interesting is the Big Ten. I don't know how – I know the Big Ten would like them, but in terms of the academic stuff, I know that a lot of people love to look at the on-field stuff, the college basketball, the college football, et cetera. But with the Big Ten, they've got a – it's not a nagging thing, but they've got an itch for schools that academically meet some of the standards that they like. Whether Florida State and Clemson are in that alliance, essentially, if you will, the allegiance of American universities, I don't know. But I think if the SEC sits on their hands a little bit too long, and Brett Yormark, it sounds like, has been aggressive in trying to pursue this, which, credit to him, he's been more proactive than reactive in what he's decided 100%. To do with the conference, which has helped keep it alive. I think that's something that when you look at the job that Brett Yormark has done, his aggressiveness, maybe Florida State and Clemson fall in love with the idea of being the big dogs in the Big 12, at least in terms of being the biggest brands in the conference.
With Texas and Oklahoma leaving, they would be. That would be the biggest brands that we have. The ACC, well, listen, they have the ACC network that was supposed to go a different direction, but the ACC has not nearly been as stable. And not only that, when you add schools like SMU, you know, a lot of those schools in that conference are kind of going, okay, what's going on here? Because North Carolina's teetering too. Like, North Carolina's a teetering team as well. Florida State and Clemson, I get it. The ACC did pay their schools more money last year, but the Big 12 has new media rights coming out, and obviously that would go up. And I know teams are worried about, you know, spreading the pie. If you had two more teams, you get the 18 teams take less money. I'm not so sure Yormark won't start a Big 12 network. I know they don't have one. The Big 10 does. The SEC, the ACC, the Pac-12 did. Kevin Weberg, the old Big 12 commissioner, actually left in the middle of being a commissioner to start the Big 10 network. It is important. I could totally see him doing this with an all-around network to raise more money. And if they do this all-state thing where it's the all-state conference for the Big 12, which I don't care about anymore, it's fine. They deserve to make money just like everybody else, these schools do, and the conference does. But, man, the Big 12 could become more lucrative than the ACC really quickly.
Yeah, I think that's the competitor that they're trying to oust. They already ousted the Pac-12, obviously, with them no longer existing. If they can continue to build and find new ways to make more revenue and get ahead of where the ACC is, which I think you can make the argument that they already are, then with school, nobody wants to leave the Big 12 right now. You got a few schools that you mentioned, Bink, that want to leave the ACC, and sure, it's public knowledge. That's a situation that Brett Yarmark obviously wants to avoid. I think the Big 12 network idea is a really good one because, as you mentioned, the SEC and the Big 12 or the Big 10 have it.
It's just propaganda, you know, Drew. It's just propaganda for you. I mean, you put everyone on the hell, and you get live sporting events on it, which are huge.
Yeah, I think there's so many different ways that the Big 12 can profit off of whatever it may be. And I think that's one of the things. Give credit to Brett Yormark. And, I mean, Deion called him a baller.
Shot caller, huh?
Yeah, he's a guy that is not going to sit back and wait for other people to make a move, and then they're going to be late to the party. And that's the reason why they're still existing and why the Pac-12 isn't, is George Klyvkov sat on his hands a little bit and didn't really try to get the new – he didn't try to modernize the conference enough, and that's why they're no longer existing. Brett Yarmark has done a great job of that, and he's got a lot of props from a lot of the coaches in the league, a lot of the presidents in the league. I think that's why a lot of people want to be a part of the Big 12 conference, which is obviously a great thing.
It's funny just how much he saved this conference. This conference is, you know, twice about to go away, and I know Kansas was worried about – you know, bring the level of their football team up to match their basketball to be lucrative to the Big Ten. The original talks back in like 2010-11 about Oklahoma and Texas going to the Pac-12, then it looked like the Pac-12 was going to raid the Big 12. But to come from the dead like he did, and with Bowlesby, you know, losing Texas and Oklahoma literally in the middle of the night, not even knowing it, I can't believe, but Yormark has done an incredible job. Utah leads the way in the football media preseason poll with 20 first-place votes. Kansas State with 19, Oklahoma State 14, Kansas with 5 first-place votes at number 4 in the conference. Yes, it's interesting seeing K-State not in the middle of the pack. I agree. And here's the one thing with Kansas State, and I'll ask you in a second who I think you think is going to win the Big 12. But isn't it funny that Will Howard has the 4th best odds to win the Heisman, both on DraftKings and FanDuel? Yeah. Here's a guy that was basically pushed out because of Avery Johnson.
Yeah, that I think is it's crazy because Kansas State didn't necessarily need to move on from anybody. It's not like Will Howard was playing bad and they just needed to move on to the next guy. It's just that Avery Johnson is potentially that big of a player, that big time of a player, that dude who can just take from last year and just even build on it further. That's why they think the pass game is going to be better. That's why they brought in Matt Wells. If I were to pick right now, I think I would say Kansas State is the team that I would pick to win because Coach Klieman has been there, done that. He's already won a Big 12 conference title. I know Utah is also up there and favored. The Cam Rising health issue isn't necessarily as bad, I guess, or as questionable as Jalen Daniels, but Cam Rising has had a little bit of health issues. So, and I don't know if they are built to win a conference title without him even, or even contend in that regard. So Avery Johnson, obviously health is imperative to him too, but what he brings to the table and what Coach Klieman has done in the portal, I think has been enough for them to continue to be in a win-now mode and address the issues like the offensive line and continue to build up the defense that just needs to be good enough. The offense is really good. They can be accentuated by Avery Johnson. I do think Kansas is an interesting team, though, Bank, and I know that, like, Jalen Daniels is a guy that, if he's healthy, he's a Heisman candidate, but he hasn't been healthy, and there's a lot of questions surrounding his health. My impression of Kansas, though, they have one of, if not the easiest schedule in the Big 12. If you told me right now, Bank, that Jalen Daniels was healthy for all 12 games, I think they're in the Big 12 title game because the conference is so, or because the schedule is so much easier than it is for even Kansas State. That'd be the team to watch, I think. But it all depends on if Jalen Daniels can stay healthy, which obviously is a huge question mark going into the season.
Yeah, because there's no Bean to back him up. You know, there's no Bean, correct, you know, sitting there to back him up. Missouri. Obviously, we're talking Big 12 with Kansas State. Missouri's just sitting out there. Have they turned that corner, in your opinion? Have they turned that program? Can they be a marquee program in the SEC?
I think that they're – I don't know if you consider what Ole Miss has been to be a marquee program, Bank, but I think that Missouri can find themselves in that light with what Coach Drinkwitz has done, where they're not an elite. You know, they're not a Georgia. They're not an Alabama. They're not a Texas, but they're up there with LSU and Ole Miss in terms of consistency.
Drew?
And he leads you all the way.
Yeah, and as far as Missouri, you know, Cody Schrader does leave. He goes to the NFL. He's out with San Francisco right now. But Marcus Carroll coming in, you know, from Georgia State. Nate Noel coming in from App State. They get some really big time dogs in that backfield this year.
Yeah, I think that is the biggest one of the biggest questions surrounding Missouri is Cody Schrader was so good last year. He's gone, but you bring in two really good running backs who Marcus Carroll can be that bell cow. Nate Noel can be a little bit of that lightning in that combination. If they can replace the production that Cody Schrader had combined, it might even help them, obviously, that it's a two-horse duo instead of just a one-horse back, you know, obviously carrying the load. Defensively is going to be the big question for Missouri. Can they be good enough on the defensive end where they can gap themselves in games? Missouri's got a lighter schedule. The toughest games that they have are at A&M, at Alabama, and then Oklahoma at home. 10-2, I think, gets them into the playoff because they're in the SEC and they're going to get that nod. Defensively, though, if they can just maintain and be in the middle of the pack in the SEC, the offense is good enough where they can carry the load and they're going to elevate that Missouri team into their first college football playoff appearance.
You know, it's funny. I think these, the local schools have the best three coaches they've ever had at one time. And this, though, Bill Snyder's obviously better than Chris Klieman, in my opinion. Gary Pinkel's better than Eli Drinkwitz. But the fact that you have Lance Leipold at Kansas, Klieman, you know, Klieman's got four national titles, FCS. Lance Leipold's got six at the Division III level. And then there's Eli Drinkwitz as well. I think they've both done a tremendous job. For Kansas and Kansas State, listen, Klieman wasn't a huge splash because he wasn't Division I, even though I was like, man, they get a guy that wins. This guy's, you know, won at the FCS level. He's a big reason why Carson Wentz was drafted when he was because of what he did there for him. And then you got Lance Leipold because Kansas was all going out for flash and sizzle. You know, like Charlie Weiss, they went that. And then they brought in Dave Beatty, who is credited for recruiting Johnny Manziel to A&M, and he was their recruiting coordinator there and spent all his time, you know, with Louisiana kids and Texas kids and really neglecting a lot of the kids. I've heard from local high school coaches, one coach that's won a state title, that's had over 35 guys go play college football the previous 3 years. He said Kansas never went and visited him. Said he'd see all these other coaches come into his high school, but not Kansas. Then obviously that's changed with Lance Leipold, but I found that very interesting that Kansas was kind of neglecting those people. But, I mean, outside of Bill Snyder and Gary Pinkel, obviously they're legends at their school, and it's going to be hard to replace them. But to have all three of these guys at once being hungry in the new age of name, image, and likeness, Kansas City's got a real treat. College football season is going to be fun in this town.
Yeah, it's going to be really exciting to follow here in the Kansas City area and just in the state of Missouri and Kansas, respectively. I think it is interesting when you look at Lance Leipold is just a program builder. The dude just builds up programs and wins and finds ways to do it, even in the most impossible of circumstances, it seems. Did it at Wisconsin Whitewater as a legend there. He did it at Buffalo. He's doing it at Kansas now. Coach Klieman, I mean, he lands Lincoln Cure. Who would have thought that a five-star, I know he's a Kansas guy, but who would have thought that a five-star kid would be going to Kansas State over Oregon, over A&M, over, you know, over Texas Oil Company Bank? Like, that's a huge deal.
Yeah, and to keep him in state, though, I still think that's a pretty big deal considering Kansas being his rival.
Yeah, and then I think, you know, Drinkwitz, it's interesting, on one of the podcasts, a couple podcasts ago, 249 Miles of Football podcast, I went and I looked at who would be in the Hall of Fame, who would be in the College Football Hall of Fame as things currently sit. And if you go off of their entire resume, all of them, Coach Klieman, Coach Leipold, and Coach Drinkwitz, all of them would be on pace to meet the criteria for being College Football Hall of Famers, obviously with what Coach Leipold did at Wisconsin Whitewater, and then what Coach Klieman did at North Dakota State in particular. Yeah. Coach Drinkwitz is on pace. I mean, he's got over the 60% win percentage in games. He just has to coach long enough, and he technically would be eligible. So it's a great time to be a fan of just local college football in general.
Yeah, I mean, there's 10 national titles between Leipold and Klieman at different levels of the NCAA. Mm-hmm. Final question for you, because I am curious what you think of this. So I see a tweet on X from NFL Rookie Watch. Travis Hunter, obviously one of the most fantastic players in the nation for Colorado, transferred from Jackson State, originally committed to Florida State, went to Jackson State, now he's in Colorado. Many NFL scouts reportedly believe Hunter's ceiling, a.k.a. wide receiver, could look something like Justin Jefferson. While some NFL scouts reportedly believe Hunter's ceiling could be Jalen Ramsey. Many teams reportedly prefer Hunter as a wide receiver as of now. Hey, He's a hell of a defensive back. I do think it took a couple steps back last year at Colorado. Which position would you play him at mostly for the next level? Would you draft him as a wide receiver, defensive back? Which direction are you going?
Man, that's a really tough question. I think I would go corner. I don't know if Travis will do that because there's more money if he wants to go the money route, essentially. I mean, he's good enough to be a wide receiver. He might go that angle if he wants to make the most money. But I think from him being able to make plays, not necessarily lock guys down. I mean, he's more of a guy like Jalen Ramsey where he might let a guy get away from him. But if the ball's thrown his way, I mean, he is a playmaker, a ball hawk type of guy that can really impact your team. I think I would draft him at corner just because of his playmaking ability.
But yeah, play him at corner, and you know what? Sneak a few plays in on offense. You know what I'm saying?
Right, yeah, sure.
There's no reason he can't do that.
Absolutely, Vink.
Not only that, he's dude, we're getting close, man. We're getting so close to week zero in college football. I can't wait, but your 249 miles of football is a great podcast. If people are jonesing for local college football news, and I know a lot of times you'll hear it say, why aren't you talking K-State more or Kansas or talking about Missouri? Now, Chris and I talk about this stuff on character concerns, but it's a little bit different because we're looking more at the draft and we're looking at the matchups for which draft picks to keep watching. But Drew breaks it all down, and he also does a I've also seen his previews of every team in NCAA college football, and it's unbelievable what he does. But usually put this out on Wednesdays, right? But this week went on Thursday?
Normally it's Wednesday morning, Jess. It came out today because I wanted to get in Lance Leipold and stuff that he said during media day. So next week we'll be back on Wednesdays. Next week, to plug it real quick, we did a podcast on how Kansas wins the Big 12. This next one will be on how Kansas State wins the Big 12, and then we'll do one later in the month to wrap up July on how Missouri can win the SEC.
Well, it's great listening whether you're at home and you want to listen to it and hear some good college football takes, especially about the local programs. Check out the fantastic work by Drew Nix, and you can check it out on the Odyssey app or 610sports.com. It's right there under the 435 Podcast Network where we have our different podcasts that we do here at 610 Sports Radio. Drew, of course, also a producer of Cody and Gold. You'll be working tomorrow, so we'll see you then, my friend.
Thank you very much, Bink. I really appreciate you having me on.
There you go. Drew Nixon right there. Interesting stuff right there. I'll get back to that in the local coaches, but we'll switch gears once again to the National Football League because not only do I want to look at the divisions, which I haven't done yet, but the over-unders are out for wide receivers. I'm curious where we all sit on that. We'll do that next. Welcome back, Jay Binkley. James producing the operation. James, tomorrow's a French Friday, National French Friday. In your opinion, who's got the best French fries in the city? I'm talking, you can't pass them up, man. You can never. Sometimes you might just go to this restaurant just to get the fries.
Sure. 100% Culver's.
Culver's is good.
Culver's. It's
the ones with
be.
The ridges, though, right?
Yeah, like the crinkle cut fries. Those are the best fries for me.
Even better than McDonald's, in your opinion. Because McDonald's has always kind of, you know, had that mantle.
Look, when McDonald's fries, when you could actually get them fresh and they're right out of the fryer, I mean, they're tough to beat.
Culver's is good. Culver's good. You know which ones I really like? And I hadn't had them for the longest time until this past weekend. And it's not really fast food, but there's enough at the restaurants around. Red Robin. Like, I hadn't been there forever, but they gave fries out, right, in the beginning. Big fries, and they season them, and then they have a dipping sauce for them. I think that kind of sets them over the edge, to be honest with you. They give those, like, some place, like Texas Roadhouse will give you rolls.
Yeah.
And a lot of places give you something, like Mexican restaurants, you'll get the, you know, chips and salsa, stuff like this. You get fries. And then you keep getting them. You can get as many as you want.
Yeah.
Endless. So it was at Hy-Vee this past weekend, right?
Mm-hmm.
Frozen food section, grabbed some Red Robin fries.
Mm-hmm.
Went down to the seasoning section, got the Red Robin seasoning, and the Campfire dipping sauce. Why?
Nice.
Red Robin gives me no money, so I don't care. I can say what I want. But I absolutely enjoyed them that much that I want to play the home game.
I mean, I don't blame you. it's hard to beat Red Robin's fries too. Like, and I'm like, oh, I like all the fries. You know, McDonald's and Red Robin's. Well, I mean, you're telling the truth here. Red Robin's fries are in the top five.
I am. The text line just chimed in right away. By the way, 913-586-7610 from 816. I've got some Chick-fil-A in the car now. Love these fries. Someone says The Kitchen in Weston, another wing stop. Joe's KC, Whataburger. Man, there happens to be a Whataburger in Parkville, by the way. And every time I drive by it, there's either one car or none. And it's like, man, in this, like, when that place, like I want to see it stay, man. I want to see it thrive. Remember when that first place first opened? Ugh.
We've got one in Grandview. It's packed.
Always packed. Well, that's good to hear. That's good to hear.
Yeah.
Do you like In-N-Out Burger? Or do you not?
In-N-Out?
If you tried it?
Oh, I love In-N-Out Burger. Okay. Yeah, I stayed out in Sacramento for like 8 months.
Oh, so you're well familiar with it. I know going to Royal Spring Training or whatever, it's about In-N-Out.
Yeah. Yeah, I love In-N-Out Burger.
They have one, too, here at a restaurant, 3rd Street Social. I think they have one, I know they do, Lee Summit. They put one in the plaza. I haven't been to that one. I've been to one, Lee Summit. They just put one up north of the river. But they actually have an animal-style burger. It's the closest thing you can get to In-N-Out at their place. They put it on butcher paper and everything else and great fries.
Nice.
Bag of frozen Arby's Curlies at home. Now, this is the thing. These are air fryer things. I mean, this is the things you throw in the air fryer with those fries. And if you ever take fries home, they get really soggy. It's really hard to bring them back to the original form, even if you put them in the air fryer.
Yeah.
But if you're getting them frozen, you know, from your freezer straight into the air fryer, you can get some damn good fries.
Yeah. Yeah, I like Arby's, and I like Freddy's fries, too. I found Freddy fries in the frozen aisle.
Freddy fries. Oh,
Freddy's? Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I'll even buy the White Castle burgers in the frozen. Stop a text line because I'm going to get, oh, that's trash. Oh, it makes me poop. I'll get all this stuff. I actually like it, White Castle, man. Call me an idiot or whatever. Well, have I been intoxicated when I went most of the time? Yeah, maybe. But I still like them.
Oh, it's funny right here on the text line. Bink, you would share the correct opinion that White Castle is the worst restaurant of all time, right?
No. I'm not going to share that opinion. I actually like it. You can throw those sliders down, man. They're not that bad, to be honest with you. They're not. And I remember we went to the All-Star game in 15. We took the day shift when I was doing that with Henry and Ryan. And we got there, and then there's one in Columbia and all that. We didn't hit it. But once we got to Cincinnati, the Skyline Chili, which the text line will tell me is trash too, I actually liked it.
Really?
And White Castle is right by the place we were staying. And it's like the first place I went to go grab some White Castle. And yes, I will buy them frozen in the frozen food section because I'm an idiot, 100%. I guess. But there's a reason why they're there.
No.
There's a reason why they're there.
Look, I make a trip maybe two times a year, a fishing trip down to Illinois. And every single time I go through Columbia, we always get a Crave case to
nothing
share.
Wrong with that.
Yeah, and I've got a family of four, so a Crave case is perfect.
Even
it lasts
perfect.
The whole trip.
How many burgers is a case?
30 sliders. 30?
Oh, wow. There you go.
Yep.
What do they charge you for that?
It's
20 bucks 40, or something?
40 bucks.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But they have other options, like a clutch, like 20 sliders and 10 sliders. So, you know, whatever fits you.
Well, having four kids is pricey. It's a little pricey. You know what I'm saying?
You're not lying.
That air fryer, not too bad. By the way, 913, Freddy's with the jalapeno fry sauce. Yes, sometimes I will buy that fry sauce anyway because that is great on sandwiches. Ham, turkey, whatever. The Freddy's fry sauce jalapeno is fantastic. I like the Whataburger jalapeno ranch. I'll throw that on different things as well. It also makes a good dipping thing for pretzels. I've been on a pretzel kick, soft pretzel kick.
Sure.
Like I'll grab them down to Johnny's or whatever, and I'll bring them home. Just put two in like a pizza box. Love that. And Arby's always in the air fryer as well. Keep those texts coming in because you're making me hungry for fries. Back to the NFL next.
For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Preseason poll with 20 first place votes. Kansas State with 19. Oklahoma State 14. Kansas with 5 first place votes at number 4 in the conference. Yes, it's interesting seeing K-State not in the middle of the pack. I agree. And here's the one thing with Kansas State, and I'll ask you in a second who I think you think is going to win the Big 12. But isn't it funny that Will Howard has the 4th best odds to win the Heisman, both on DraftKings and FanDuel? Yeah. Here's a guy that was basically pushed out because of Avery Johnson.
Yeah, that I think is it's crazy because Kansas City didn't necessarily need to move on from anybody. It's not like Will Howard was playing bad and they just needed to move on to the next guy. It's just that Avery Johnson is potentially that big of a player, that big time of a player, that dude who can just take from last year and just even build on it further. That's why they think the pass game is going to be better. That's why they brought in Matt Wells. If I were to pick right now, I think I would say Kansas State is the team that I would pick to win because Coach Klieman has been there, done that. He's already won a Big 12 conference title. I know Utah is also up there and favored. The Cam Rising health issue isn't necessarily as bad, I guess, or as questionable as yeah. Jalen Daniels, but Cam Rising has had a little bit of health issues. So, and I don't know if they are built to win a conference title without him even, or even contend in that regard. So Avery Johnson, obviously health is imperative to him too, but what he brings to the table and what Coach Klieman has done in the portal, I think has been enough for them to continue to be in a win now mode and address the issues like the offensive line and continue to build up the defense that just needs to be good enough. Offense is really good. They can be accentuated by Avery Johnson. I do think Kansas is an interesting team though, Bank. And I know that like Jalen Daniels is a guy that if he's healthy, he's a Heisman candidate, but he hasn't been healthy. And there's a lot of questions surrounding his health. My impression of Kansas though, they have one of, if not the easiest schedule in the Big 12. If you told me right now, Bank, that Jalen Daniels was healthy for all 12 games, I think they're in the Big 12 title game because the conference is so, or because the schedule is so much easier than it is for even Kansas State. That'd be the team to watch, I think, but it all depends on if Jalen Daniels can stay healthy, which obviously is a huge question mark going into the season.
Yeah, because there's no Bean to back him up. You know, there's no Bean, correct, you know, sitting there to back him up. Missouri, obviously, we're talking Big 12 with Kansas State. Missouri's just sitting out there. Have they turned that corner, in your opinion? Have they turned that program? Can they be a marquee program in the SEC?
I think that I don't know if you consider what Ole Miss has been to be a marquee program, Bank, but I think that Missouri can find themselves in that light with what Coach Drinkwitz has done, where they're not an elite. You know, they're not a Georgia, they're not an Alabama, they're not a Texas, but they're up there with LSU and Ole Miss in terms of consistency.
Drew?
And he leads you all the way.
Yeah, and as far as Missouri, you know, Cody Schrader does leave. He goes to the NFL. He's out with San Francisco right now. But Marcus Carroll coming in, you know, from Georgia State. Nate Noel coming in from App State. They get some really big-time dogs in that backfield this year.
Yeah, I think that is the biggest one of the biggest questions surrounding Missouri is Cody Schrader was so good last year. He's gone. But you bring in two really good running backs who Marcus Carroll can be that bell cow. Nate Noel can be a little bit of that lightning in that combination. If they can replace the production that Cody Schrader had combined, it might even help them, obviously, that it's a two-horse duo instead of just a one-horse back, you know, obviously carrying the load. Defensively is going to be the big question for Missouri. Can they be good enough on the defensive end where they can gap themselves in games? Missouri's got a lighter schedule. The toughest games that they have are at A&M, at Alabama, and then Oklahoma at home. 10-2, I think, gets them into the playoff because they're in the SEC and they're going to get that nod. Defensively, though, if they can just maintain and be in the middle of the pack in the SEC, the offense is good enough where they can carry the load and they're going to elevate that Missouri team into their first college football playoff appearance.
You know, it's funny. I think the local schools have the best three coaches they've ever had at one time. And this, though, Bill Snyder's obviously better than Chris Klieman, in my opinion. Gary Pinkel's better than Eli Drinkwitz. But the fact that you have Lance Leipold at Kansas, Klieman, you know, Klieman's got four national titles, FCS. Lance Leipold's got six at the Division III level. And then there's Eli Drinkwitz as well. I think they've both done a tremendous job. For Kansas and Kansas State, listen, Klieman wasn't a huge splash because he wasn't Division I, even though I was like, man, they get a guy that wins. This guy's, you know, won at the FCS level. He's a big reason why Carson Wentz was drafted when he was because of what he did there for him. And then you got Lance Leipold because Kansas was all going out for flash and sizzle. You know, like Charlie Weiss, they went that. And then they brought in Dave Beatty, who is credited for recruiting Johnny Manziel to A&M, and he was their recruiting coordinator there and spent all his time, you know, with Louisiana kids and Texas kids and really neglecting a lot of the kids. I've heard from local high school coaches, one coach that's won a state title, that's had over 35 guys go play college football the previous 3 years. He said Kansas never went and visited him. Said he'd see all these other coaches come into his high school, but not Kansas. Then obviously that's changed with Lance Leipold, but I found that very interesting that Kansas was kind of neglecting those people. But, I mean, outside of Bill Snyder and Gary Pinkel, obviously they're legends at their school, and it's going to be hard to replace them. But to have all three of these guys at once being hungry in the new age of name, image, and likeness, Kansas City's got a real treat. College football season is going to be fun in this town.
Yeah, it's going to be really exciting to follow here in the Kansas City area and just in the state of Missouri and Kansas, respectively. I think it is interesting when you look at Lance Leipold is just a program builder. The dude just builds up programs and wins and finds ways to do it, even in the most impossible of circumstances, it seems. Did it at Wisconsin Whitewater as a legend there. He did it at Buffalo. He's doing it at Kansas now. Coach Klieman, I mean, he lands Lincoln Cure. Who would have thought that a five-star, I know he's a Kansas guy, but who would have thought that a five-star kid would be going to Kansas State over Oregon, over A&M, over, you know, over Texas Oil Bank? Like, that's a huge deal.
Yeah, and to keep him in state, though, I still think that's a pretty big deal considering Kansas being his rival.
Yeah, and then I think, you know, Drinkwitz, it's interesting, on one of the podcasts, a couple podcasts ago, 249 Miles of Football podcast, I went and I looked at who would be in the Hall of Fame, who would be in the College Football Hall of Fame as things currently sit. And if you go off of their entire resume, all of them, Coach Klieman, Coach Leipold, and Coach Drinkwitz, all of them would be on pace to meet their criteria for being College Football Hall of Famers, obviously with what Coach Leipold did at Wisconsin Whitewater and then what Coach Klieman did at North Dakota State in particular. Yeah. Coach Drinkwitz is on pace. I mean, he's got over the 60% win percentage in games. He just has to coach long enough, and he technically would be eligible. So it's a great time to be a fan of just local college football in general.
Yeah, I mean, there's 10 national titles between Leipold and Klieman at different levels of the NCAA. Mm. Final question for you, because I am curious what you think of this. So I see a tweet on X from NFL Rookie Watch. Travis Hunter, obviously one of the most fantastic players in the nation for Colorado, transferred from Jackson State, originally committed to Florida State, went to Jackson State, now he's in Colorado. Many NFL scouts reportedly believe Hunter's ceiling, a.k.a. wide receiver, could look something like Justin Jefferson. While some NFL scouts reportedly believe Hunter's ceiling could be Jalen Ramsey. Many teams reportedly prefer Hunter as a wide receiver as of now. Hey, he's a hell of a defensive back. I do think it took a couple steps back last year at Colorado. Which position would you play him at mostly for the next level? Would you draft him as a wide receiver, defensive back? Which direction are you going?
That's a really tough question. I think I would go corner. I don't know if Travis will do that because there's more money if he wants to go the money route, essentially. I mean, he's good enough to be a wide receiver. He might go that angle if he wants to make the most money. But I think from him being able to make plays, not necessarily lock guys down. I mean, he's more of a guy like Jalen Ramsey where he might let a guy get away from him, but if the ball's thrown his way, I mean, he is a playmaker, a ball hawk type of guy that can really impact your team. I think I would draft him at corner just because of his playmaking ability.
But yeah, play him at corner, and you know what? Sneak a few plays in on offense. You know what I'm saying?
Right, yeah, sure.
There's no reason he can't do that.
Absolutely, Vink.
Not only that, he's dude, we're getting close, man. We're getting so close to week zero in college football. I can't wait, but your 249 Miles of Football is a great podcast. If people are jonesing for local college football news, and I know a lot of times you'll hear it say, why aren't you talking K-State more or Kansas or talking about Missouri? Now, Chris and I talk about this stuff on character concerns, but it's a little bit different because we're looking more at the draft, and we're looking at the matchups for which draft picks to keep watching, but Drew breaks it all down, and he also does I've also seen his previews of every team in NCAA college football, and it's unbelievable what he does. But usually put this out on Wednesdays, right? But this week went on Thursday?
Normally it's Wednesday morning, Jess. It came out today because I wanted to get in Lance Leipold and stuff that he said during media day. So next week we'll be back on Wednesdays. Next week, to plug it real quick, we did a podcast on how Kansas wins the Big 12. This next one will be on how Kansas State wins the Big 12, and then we'll do one later in the month to wrap up July on how Missouri can win the SEC.
Well, it's great listening whether you're at home and you want to listen to it and hear some good college football takes, especially about the local programs. Check out the fantastic work by Drew Nix, and you can check it out on the Odyssey app or 610 Sports. Podcast.com. It's right there under the 435 Podcast Network, where we have our different podcasts that we do here at 610 Sports Radio. Drew, of course, also a producer of Cody and Gold. You'll be working tomorrow, so we'll see you then, my friend.
Thank you very much, Bink. I really appreciate you having me on.
There you go. Drew Nixon right there. Interesting stuff right there. I'll get back to that in the local coaches, but we'll switch gears once again to the National Football League, because not only do I want to look at the divisions, which I haven't done yet, but the over-unders are out for wide receivers. I'm curious where we all sit on that. We'll do that next. Welcome back, Jay Binkley. James producing the operation. James, tomorrow's French Friday, National French Friday. In your opinion, who's got the best French fries in the city? I'm talking, you can't pass them up, man. You can never, sometimes you might just go to this restaurant just to get the fries.
Sure, sure. 100% Culver's.
Culver's is good.
Culver's. It's
the ones with the ridges, though, right?
Yeah, like the crinkle cut fries. Those are the best fries for me.
Even better than McDonald's, in your opinion. Because McDonald's has always kind of, you know, had that mantle.
Look, when McDonald's fries, when you could actually get them fresh and they're right out of the fryer, yeah. They're tough to beat. The
Culver's is good. Culver's good. You know which ones I really like? And I hadn't had them for the longest time until this past weekend. And it's not really fast food, but there's enough at the restaurants around. Red Robin. Like, I hadn't been there forever, but they gave fries out, right, in the beginning. Big fries, and they season them, and then they have a dipping sauce for them. I think that kind of sets them over the edge, to be honest with you. They give those, like, some place, like Texas Roadhouse will give you rolls.
Yeah.
And a lot of places give you something, like Mexican restaurants, you'll get the, you know, chips and salsa, stuff like this. You get fries. And then you keep getting them. You can get as many as you want.
Yeah.
So, it was at Hy-Vee this past weekend, right?
Mm-hmm.
Frozen food section, grabbed some Red Robin fries.
Mm-hmm.
Went down to the seasoning section, got the Red Robin seasoning, and the Campfire dipping sauce. Why?
Nice.
Red Robin gives me no money, so I don't care. I can say what I want. But I absolutely wanted, I enjoyed them that much that I want to play the home game.
I mean, I don't blame you. it's hard to beat Red Robin's fries, too. Like, and I'm like, oh, I like all the fries. You know, McDonald's and Red Robin's. Well, I mean, you're telling the truth here. Red Robin's fries are in the top five.
I am. The text line just chimed in right away, by the way. 913-586-7610. From 816, I've got some Chick-fil-A in the car now. Love these fries. Someone says The Kitchen in Weston. Another Wingstop. Joe's KC. Whataburger. Man, there happens to be a Whataburger in Parkville, by the way. And every time I drive by it, there's either one car or none. And it's like, man, in this, like, when that place, like I want to see it stay, man. I want to see it thrive. Remember when that first place first opened? Ugh.
We've got one in Grandview. It's packed.
Always packed. Well, that's good to hear. That's good to hear.
Yeah.
Do you like In-N-Out Burger? Or do you not?
In-N-Out?
If you tried it?
Oh, I love In-N-Out Burger. Okay. Yeah, I stayed out in Sacramento for like 8 months.
Oh, so you're well familiar with it. I know going to Royal Spring Training or whatever, it's about In-N-Out.
Yeah. Yeah, I love In-N-Out Burger.
They have one, too, here at a restaurant, 3rd Street Social. I think they have one, I know they do, Lee Summit. They put one in the plaza. I haven't been to that one. I've been to 187. They just put one up north of the river. But they actually have an animal-style burger. It's the closest thing you can get to In-N-Out at their place. They put it on butcher paper and everything else and great fries.
Nice.
Bag of frozen Arby's Curlies at home. Now, this is the thing. These are air fryer things. I mean, this is the things you throw in the air fryer with those fries. And if you ever take fries home, they get really soggy. It's really hard to bring them back to the original form, even if you put them in the air fryer.
Yeah.
But if you're getting them frozen, you know, from your freezer straight into the air fryer, you can get some damn good fries.
Yeah. Yeah, I like Arby's, and I like Freddy's fries, too. I found Freddy fries in the frozen aisle.
Freddy fries. Oh,
Freddy's? Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I'll even buy the White Castle burgers in the frozen. Stop a text client because I'm going to get, oh, that's trash. Oh, it makes me poop. I'll get all this stuff. I actually like it, White Castle, man. Call me an idiot or whatever. Well, if I've been intoxicated when I went most of the time, yeah, maybe. But I still like them.
Oh, it's funny right here on the text line. Bink, you would share the correct opinion that White Castle is the worst restaurant of all time, right?
No. I'm not going to share that opinion. I actually like it. You can throw those sliders down, man. They're not that bad, to be honest with you. They're not. And I remember we went to the All-Star game in 15. We took the day shift when I was doing that with Henry and Ryan. And we got there, and then there's one in Columbia and all that. We didn't hit it. But once we got to Cincinnati, the Skyline Chili, which the text line will tell me is trash too, I actually liked it.
Really?
And White Castle is right by the place we were staying. And that's like the first place I went to go grab some White Castle. And yes, I will buy them frozen in the frozen food section because I'm an idiot, 100%. I guess. But there's a reason why they're there.
No.
There's a reason why they're there.
Look, I make a trip maybe two times a year, a fishing trip down to Illinois. And every single time I go through Columbia, we always get a Crave case to
Nothing
share.
Wrong with that.
Yeah, and I've got a family of four, so a Crave case is perfect.
Even
it lasts
perfect.
The whole trip.
How many burgers is a case?
30 sliders. 30,
oh, wow. There you go.
Yep.
What do they charge you for that?
It's
20 bucks 40, or something?
40 bucks.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But they have other options, like a clutch, like 20 sliders and 10 sliders. So, you know, whatever fits you.
Well, having four kids is pricey. It's a little pricey. You know what I'm saying?
You're not lying.
That air fryer, not too bad. By the way, 913, Freddy's with the jalapeno fry sauce. Yes, sometimes I will buy that fry sauce anyway because that is great on sandwiches. Ham, turkey, whatever. The Freddy's fry sauce jalapeno is fantastic. I like the Whataburger jalapeno ranch. I'll throw that on different things as well. Also makes a good dipping thing for pretzels. I've been on a pretzel kick, soft pretzel kick.
Sure.
Like I'll grab them down to Johnny's or whatever, and I'll bring them home. There's put two in like a pizza box. Love that. And Arby's always in the air fryer as well. Keep those texts coming in because you're making me hungry for fries. Back to the NFL next.
Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hanses and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.